Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter, and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's episode 984, I think. I'm joined by Steve. You're right, Steve.
Hello.
And Peter. You're right, Peter.
Hello.
What's wrong with your voice, Pete?
I'm not here.
Oh, I see. I'll just call him. We arrange a time. I know you guys have got other things to do. So have I, frankly, you know. But I haven't, actually. Pete, we arrange a time. And then Pete said, oh, seconds before calling, can I do something else? Can I miss this week, please? I've got work stuff happening. So I'm thinking, well, he could just come on for 10 minutes, couldn't he?
Well, in all fairness, you did delay it by 15 minutes. So maybe he was pushing for time anyway. And you just take him out of that bracket.
What is that? He's not answering now. I'm calling him. Can you hear that ringing?
Well, he knows that you won't take no for an answer, so that's probably why he's not answering.
Yeah. I've tried it on Skype and phone. He's just not picking. I'm going to leave a message here.
Welcome to the EE voicemail. I'm sorry, but the person you've called is not available.
Yeah.
Please leave your message after the tone. After you finish your message, yes, just hang up. Or to hear more options, please press 1.
Peter, we arrange a time. We all stop our busy schedules so we can all, you know, sync together and talk about stocks and shares and life and general stuff. And if you don't talk to us, you don't talk to anyone all week. You sit in your bedsit, you know, on your one pan sort of a little gas stove, and you're looking at the internet. You have to talk to humans, Peter. It's good for you. We are social creatures. Do you understand that? Now give us a call. Don't be shy.
Join the Skype.
Join the Skype. join the Skype, man. Yeah, all right. So that's Peter's number anyway. I was hoping it would... No, normally it just says what number that you're calling, isn't it? So it reveals a number. So I was going to reveal the number and then just put the podcast out and then, you know, lots of people will call him, hopefully. How's your week been, Steve? See, talking to you is unbelievable. You just sit there silently, don't you, really?
Well, most of the time, yeah.
That's not how conversation works, though, Steve. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Pete's just a little bit more into it than I am, aren't he? So he asks probably more sensible questions than I would probably ask.
Yeah, so did you get into i3 Energy?
I did, yes. I think I got in just at the right time, actually.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It started taking off. I got this, right? You know, last weekend I sent out a spreadsheet and I said, do me a favour, I'm looking for small caps with big resources. So resource stocks, you know, in energy, you know, oil, any kind of mineralisation, you know, any kind of resource. And I got some good entries. It's duplicates, but I narrowed it down to about, I think, 35 entries, I think. And on there, a couple stood out. And i3 Energy stood out to me. And I shared the spreadsheet and stuff. And so I thought, I'll buy some of those on Monday. So I went to buy, and I couldn't buy any, hardly any at all. And I looked at the shareholder register. I did beforehand, anyway. It was quite tightly held. But about 80% of the stock was held already, and about 65% is by directors. Now, they've got a resource, you know, in the North Sea. And these guys have done it before. They've done it with Ithaca Energy. But they have a resource there, I think 2P resource, of 12 million barrels of oil. At the end of this year, if they secure funding, which it looks like they're in very advanced talks to do, they're going to be producing 10,000 barrels of oil per day. Now, this spreadsheet was for market caps below 10 million. Now, 10,000 barrels of oil per day. is big, Steve. You know, is a lot. And for a micro cap, it's a massive amount. So if we do the maths on that, right? At the moment, I mean, what all is selling for just north of $65. And there, all in cost apparently is around about $25. What's the profit there, Steve?
Oh, this is where we need Pete. I'm not a maths person.
65 being taken by 25. What's the maths? What's the total, Steve?
It's what?
65 being taken away by 25. 65 minus 25. Come on. 65. Take away 25.
40.
40. All right. We got there at the end. By the time you answer that, Pete join the call for next week. Right. Yeah, so what's that? So $40 profit, right? That's $40 profit per barrel. Times that by 10,000.
40,000.
That's a day. So in $40,000 a day, all right? So, add on 40,000, 400,000, you maniac. It's an added naught, isn't it? 10,000 plus 40 times 40, yeah?
Oh, 40, yeah.
That's $400,000 profit per day. Times that, but let's just say we take 300 days a year, okay, rather than 365. So you take off 65 for, you know, problems, maintenance, Christmas, all that, birthday parties, Valentine's Day. They're not drilling on those days, all right? So you times that, and you get $120 million of profit for 1 year. It's a company with a market cap below 10 million. It's now about 13 million, I think. So that's why I liked it a lot. You see why I like it a lot? And so it went like crazy. I bought some on the Monday. I told you about it. And Pete was like slow coach, wasn't he? Didn't even, you know, he wasn't even catching up on a WhatsApp group. And so I bought some. And it started rising towards like 50-odd pence. And then on the Wednesday or something, they announced like a placing at 30 pence, which is heck of a discount from 52 pence. But to be fair to them, it was average days, average volume weighted average, the price was. So they take what they do sometimes with placings, they take the average price and the and volume over the next last 10, 20 days, whatever days it is, over 6 days or 5 days, whatever, and they work out the placing, you know, trying to be fair off that. And so because it's risen quickly in the last 2 days, of course, the placing is going to be a lot way below the actual price it was, you know. So it went down 24%. You know, minus 24% on Wednesday, the placing price. And I thought, do you know what? This is such a compelling story. It's going to go up, I think, at the end of the day. End of the day, it went up by 16, 8, 17%. But it didn't end up in the positive territory, about 3%, I think. But that's a lesson.
Did you buy some more in then, that little dip then?
I had a limit order at 38 pence, and it went down to 41 pence, I think. So it didn't go quite down. So it went down from 52 down to about 41. I just missed topping up. I got enough sort of anyway shares there, but I wouldn't have mind topped up on that within that announcement, that placing announcement, there was further evidence that advanced the funding talks even further, and there may be an offtake agreement. And also, not only that, what's another good thing about i3 Energy is that they've applied for another license, which is very close to their a license in North Sea there, and this will add. I think at the moment it's at 12 million barrels of oil in place. This will add about another 22 million or something like that, it'll take up to like 60 million barrels of oil in place, which is a massive resource for a company this size, you know. So it's a very compelling story. And do you know what? This is what I said. This placing, and this can happen. It happened with Upland Resources as well. Do you see Upland's? Do you own Upland shares, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not very many, but just a small amount.
Did you see the placing they did?
No.
Have you got the app, Vox Markets app?
Yeah, it did pop up, but I've just been busy this week. I didn't get around to reading it.
Don't tell lies, Stephen. You never read an RNS, do you?
I do.
When's it? I do. What song is that from? I love you. I do. Anyway, Upland Resources, right, did obviously a discounted raise. The share price at 152, I think, and the raise at 1.35. Now, this is a raise the difference. But why I'm likening these two stories together is because, you know, AIM is alternative investment market, is for companies, for growth companies. It's for companies that are not profitable and want to grow, and they need funding. And that's why they go to AIM for funding. And so, you know, you can't blame companies for raising a discount because it's got to give some incentive to investors. But when it's done properly, you know, it goes well. And we've seen this at Upland Resources. So, in their raise, have a guess who they... Basically, they announced two big investors have come on board, right? And there's a million pounds worth of shares they bought at 1.35 pence. And it was a Toon Assets Limited, or Toon Group. Now, I don't know if you know who the Toon Group is, but one of them is Tony Fernandez. And the other guy's called Kamarudin Marinin. But Tony Fernandez is like the Alan Sugar of Malaysia. He is he hosted The Apprentice. He owns AirAsia. He bought AirAsia, right, for less than £1. And it was, you know, from it was unprofitable. It turned it round, and now it flies to 165 destinations. Like Richard Branson, you know, and Alan Sugar. And I'm just thinking, people, on the day, in the morning, right, before the podcast went up with Steve, I talked to Steve Staley, the CEO. The share price was like up by 1%. And I thought, are people not getting this? Tony Fernandez's net worth is $650 million. He has just taken a punt on a tiny micro-cap oil and gas stock, putting £1 million into it. Now, you imagine Richard Branson doing that, or Alan Sugar doing that in a small... And this company has never, ever invested in an oil and gas company before, right? They own AirAsia, they own QPR Football Club, they own Caterham, the Caterham Group, which is Caterham Cars, they own Toon Hotels Group, Toon Talk, which is a mobile virtual network, and the Epsom College in Malaysia. So they're investing in this tiny little oil and gas company listed on AIM. Now, this has got to ring alarm bells, surely, with anyone. And if you look at the shareholder register of Upland Resources, you know, the chairman, who's a big businessman, and his friend with Tony Fernandez, holds a massive amount of stock, about 50% of the company, I think. So, and all the board hold a fair chunk of money. And Steve has been mentioning on the podcast several times, they're on the edge of doing a deal in the Far East, in Malaysia, or Sarawak, and in North Africa, you know. And he's also got this WIC prospect happening in this country, which is a 250 million barrel of oil sort of high impact drill coming up before the end of the year. And so, you know, wouldn't that say something to you, Steve? If you're following money, following successful businessmen, doesn't that say something to you when you've got someone the likes of, it could be compared to Alan Sugar and also Richard Branson. In fact, Richard Branson follows Tony Fernandez on Twitter. You know, Richard Branson doesn't follow a lot of people. And even people like CNN International follow Tony Fernandez. You know, he's a big name. He's well known. And so doesn't it say a lot that he's investing in little Upland Resources? Doesn't that say something? You know, because these guys, he's not investing to get a couple of quid back. They invest to move the needle. You know, they put money into things because they want a lot of money back. So he's chucked £1 million into Upland. And so eventually, people caught on to this. Some people probably listen to the podcast. And it's starting to fly, the share price. Now it's been the most followed company. That and i3 Energy in the last couple of days. But I mean, I'm thinking, you know, placings don't have to. When a placing is done for a good reason, you know, that it can fly, you know. So people often see placings as a negative thing, and it's not, you know. If it's for a good reason, and it's genuinely to develop a business that's looking good, it's a good thing, you know. So it's worth doing. So you must be up now in Upland, aren't you?
Yeah. I think I've been up from quite a while, actually. Quite low, yeah.
That's your research paying off, Steve, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what else was it? I was looking at do you know, on that spreadsheet I was talking about, you know, small caps, big resources, there was another company that stuck out to me on there, and that was Ferrum Crescent. I've had the guys on the podcast. They've had a change of board. I interviewed him in the last CEO. Wasn't a big fan. Didn't really connect. There's something there I didn't really like about him. But the new guys now, new technical director Miles Campion and Lawrence Reed, I quite like. So they did a maiden JORC resource. So this is basically, a JORC is a standard, you know, it's a standard that's recognised around the world. And you have to, you know, apply certain rules for drilling, for measuring, all this kind of stuff. And when you get a JORC resource, it's measured around the world. Now, this is in Spain. This is, it's a very friendly jurisdiction. It's not some deepest, darkest Africa where the government are dodgy. It's in Spain. And they announced 16 million tonnes at 6.9 zinc equivalent, including lead credits and 25 grams per tonne of silver. Now, this is a 3 million market cap. And I have to explain this to people. I've had lots of people, you know, talk to me about bigger cap stocks and how they, you know, hope to get rich off them. I think you can't get really rich off bigger cap stocks unless you put millions into them, because they, you know, a £1 billion market cap company will not double overnight. Doesn't happen. Very rarely does it happen. So this is a 3 million market cap. Now, if you look at it, they've got 670 tons of zinc, 450 tons of lead, 13 million ounces of silver, and this hasn't moved yet. i3 Energy has moved, you know. This hasn't moved. So it's an opportunity here, but 13 million ounces of silver. And Miles Campion came on, talked about a similar project, and he said this is a, you know, could be getting, because it's just the start of this resource. This resource will get bigger when they do more work on it. But he said, I could compare it to a recent deal that Central Asian Metals did, CML. And they bought a company with a similar project to FCR, and they paid $403 million for it. Now, hang on, there's a bit of a disjoint there, isn't it? Because FCR's 3 million market cap in its entirety, and yet this other company bought another project like this, similar size, for $403 million. So who's wrong here? I mean, even if you meet in the middle, you know, and, you know, camera comes down and the other one comes up, we're way off fair value here for FCR. So I'm thinking zinc, and zinc also is a 10-year high and in deficit supply-wise. And listen to this. A ton of zinc is worth about $3,400. Times out about 670,000 tons, that's $2.2 billion. A ton of lead is around $2,500. Times out by 570,000 tons they got, that's $1.35 billion. An ounce of silver is about $17. Times that by 13 million, you've got 221 million. So you add all that up, the resource value. Of course, it costs a lot of money to get it out of the ground, but that's the asset they got. And that's, you know, so you can see completely.
Is it still in the ground at the moment then?
It's still in the ground, yes. But listen, when you've got an asset like that, of course, a 3 million market cap is easily underpinned. So you've got to look at assets and think, hang on a sec, that's ridiculous. This is due a re-rate. And I think there is a bit of a seller selling stock from the old board or something, an old placing. So that's holding it down at the moment. It won't be for long, though. I think it will start to move because, you know, when you see a sort of disjoint like that in the value of an asset and the share price of a company or the value of the company, you know, it's got to move. It's got to change. Something's got to give, you know. And, of course, there's normally a re-rating of a stock. So Ferrum Crescent, I think, it's worth looking at. And that's what I did with this, you know, this spreadsheet. It was on Twitter. I just asked for this kind of some excellent sort of feedback from people. And I've done another one now. I'm doing another spreadsheet. But I'm asking for tech or biotech stocks below 10 million. Someone said, Justin, I've got a company that's 30 million. Why does it have to be below 10 million? And this is what I think. I think if it's below 10 million and they've got a good asset, good resources, or you've got good tech, then it's probably a bargain and it's probably oversold. So it's probably due a re-rate, you know? And also, it's just having the amount of data to go through. If I raise that level, that, you know, filter to 30 million, I've probably got three or four times as many stocks to look at, you know? So, below 10 million, I think they really, really do well. Oh, do you know what? I mean, a couple of days ago, you said about BT, didn't you? It's annoying, isn't it, BT?
Mm. What is going on there? Is it just because of what their quarter three then?
Their quarter three results. Weren't that bad, though? I mean, I'm sure you've gone through them, Steve. So what's your take on them?
No, I haven't gone through them. It's just what Pete said earlier.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I mean, we're coming off last year, they had the worst year ever, didn't they? They had the Italian scandal, which set a write-off $350 million or something ridiculous. They also had the court case about Openreach and Ofcom. They got fined and all that stuff. And so they had lots of issues there. And they got the pension there. The pension's still around, still hanging around. But their third quarter results came out, and I started reading it, they're quite bullish. Openreach now to deliver 3 million premises by the end of 2020. That's fibre to premises. Have you heard about this? Fibre to premises. Have you heard about that?
No.
Basically, you have fibre straight. Rather than going to a box and it's reducing your speed, it can come straight to a business premise or straight to your house. And so they're going to start off by linking up 3 million premises of businesses and houses like that. So straight. So you get hardwired fibre straight to your house.
So it's pretty much the same way that Virgin do it.
Virgin don't go straight to your house, do they?
Yeah.
They don't, do they?
Yeah, it's all their lines are fibre.
No, but not straight to your house.
Yeah.
BT's the first one to do it. Virgin go straight to the box, don't they? They go to the box and then come to your house. They're going to bypass boxes. And so they know there's little boxes at the end of your house. They're going to bypass all those things. So it goes straight to your house, from BT, straight to your house.
No, I'm pretty sure Virgin do that, because that's why you can't get Virgin in certain areas, because they haven't run the cables up to your house.
Oh, they won't do it. Yeah, they won't do it because it costs a lot of money. Yeah. But anyway, this is on the financial side, right? This is what they did. Revenue was like down 3% to 5.9 million. That's not a lot, is it? Because they're the worst year ever. That's what the comparative. Profit before tax was up 20. Was that right? Yeah, up 25% from last quarter. So it's up. But I mean, let's go from basically, they are revenue down a couple of percent, you know, profit down a couple of percent. It's nothing. It's a percent here, percent there. They were down 6% at one point on Friday. And this is in a share price that's been, you know, halved in the last year or so. So I'm just thinking, this is nuts, really, isn't it? And I'm really oversold. And it's really going to... And do you know what's annoying me? I bought some BT shares for the missus. And that's all she's doing is... She's got an app now, and she can check the price of BT on their app. And she's giving me a headache about it all the time, saying, what are you doing, BT? You're losing all my money. You're losing all my... Every time she looks at it, you're losing all my money. And I'm thinking, it's probably the worst performing stock in my portfolio. She's annoying as heck.
And she doesn't quite get stocks and shares, does she?
No, I
probably
said to
even
her,
less than I do.
I said, I know that's going some. And I said to her, how are you losing money? She said, well, I am. It's gone down. I said, yeah, but you're giving dividends and you haven't sold. How are you losing money? Well, it is, because every time I look at it, I put this much amount in and I can see this amount. I said, yeah, but... I said, house prices fluctuate. But you don't know... But, you know, you wouldn't know that because you can't see it. I said, don't look at that. This is a... she put money in her account for the kids, you know, and it's an ISA, stocks and shares account. I said, you will earn from this level, BT. It'll have some, you know, fluctuations, up and down, but it'll hopefully be a nice return in the next 5-6 years. And it will, you know, over that period. The trouble is, we look at stocks and shares every day, prices pretty much, and that's the problem. When you've got a day-to-day time frame, of course, you're going to get annoyed by fluctuations. But, I mean, you shouldn't look at it like that, you know? It's a long-term investment. And I do believe, you know, reinvest those dividends, which are now, you know, 5% plus. And, in fact, do you know what will help, actually, next week? You get paid interim dividends now, so you get paid shares next week because we're dividend. I think that will help. I think for all the people who reinvest the dividends, that's a lot of stock of BT getting bought up, isn't it? So I think it will help the share price. And if you look, actually, the dip we had back in November, it went down to... Let me look at the share price. It went down to around this level, and BT now is sort of bouncing off that low it was at in November. So we've done what's called a double bottom. You know, it goes down, tests a previous low, and if it bounces back up, I'm quite... But yeah, see, at the moment, it's two... I'm looking at it. Is it 245?
Yeah,
245. So the low in November, right... was
243, wasn't it?
Yeah, 243. No, low 242.89. So that was the low on the day, and so it's above that now. And I'm just thinking, okay, if we did double bottom here, that's a very powerful signal and chart that the stock has bounced, and that's quite a long time frame double bottom. So that's quite good. So it's oversold at the moment, and when you get an oversold nature like this, it's usually quite good. So I reckon. I know I've said this before. I reckon we're all right here, though. But it's just annoying. Do you know what? Slow, big stocks get on my nerves. They get on my nerves, really are. Especially BT. It's really annoying. By the way, Steve, you got to apologise to Brian Larkin.
I've got to.
Yeah, of United Oil and Gas. He heard the podcast last weekend. He said, "Yeah." He said your Irish accent wasn't very good. He said mine was spot on, but he said yours wasn't very good, and Pete's.
Mine was more of a noise than an accent, to be fair. And I think it represented an Irish accent quite well. Did it not?
Well, Brian didn't think so. I emailed him. He's supposed to come on the podcast, right? And he had to call off because he was ill. And I got to say,
he had to call off until I apologised.
Yeah, until I apologised. He said, he was ill. I think it was your accent that made him ill. But he said, no, I've got a flu, so I can't do the podcast. I've got to call off. But I knew he was ill. Because I did say to someone else, I said, do you know what? It's been a week now since Brian's announced the deal. Because he's been announcing deals pretty much every week. And I did put on Twitter, Brian's not larking about, is he? See what I did there, Steve? His name's Larkin. Brian's not larking about.
Good.
Yeah, it's a good gag there. And any other stocks you want to talk about, Steve?
Do you know what's quite frustrating, actually? And I know you kind of bought
sex life.
Yeah, that is as well. You sold out. There's a new Formix.
New Formix. Yeah, listen, they're on the podcast this week.
Yeah, because I know you bought sold out, but look, was it last week we mentioned or the week before? They kind of like jumped up, and I went into green on them, but they shot right back down again. I'm 20% down on them.
So right, well, listen, this is what I say to you, Stephen, right? It's going to be a bit of time here because Dr. Dan Gooding, the CEO, came on the podcast and revealed, they've obviously done a licensing deal just before Christmas when we bought them originally, and the market cap was wrong, actually. That's why I've jumped in.
Yeah.
But they did a licensing deal, so it was a £2.5 million deal up front, and also double-digit royalties. So 10% they're going to get, you know, reveal that, it's 10% they get on royalty payments. That isn't happening until next year. So, well, I think a lot of...
Is it 2019?
No, is it 2019 or 2020? Maybe 2019, I don't know, yeah, towards the end of next year, maybe 2020. But that's not to say they won't do deals in the meantime, but I'll check, it could be 2019, I can't remember, maybe 2019. But obviously, I think people thought that was happening right now. I think they're getting that payment and the license deals right now. But, yeah, you know, that's not going to say they're not going to do more deals, you know, sooner. And also, to me, that says a lot. And they've also just announced another sort of positive result of the lung and fibrosis sort of study, which is very good. So, yeah, is the market cap a bit high? Maybe, you know, it's 14 million. So... It did come down to about sort of 10 million, didn't it? I think it was a really good bargain there, and it jumped up from there. I don't know whether we'll see that again, because they may announce more deals in the meantime. I just think that route to revenue was a bit longer, that runway to revenue, I should say, a bit longer than people thought, you know? But nevertheless, Steve, this is I think this is a cracking business, I really do. It's very clever, because it's called co-crystal technology, and it's taken the, you know, a proven drug already and adapted it in some way, to help that drug. So what you get there is a new drug, a new patent, so they'll own the patent, but the safety profile of the, you know, the existing drug that's been tested already is still there. So, you know, and I think it's very clever indeed. So it's a proven thing. I think it's an excellent business model, but it has taken longer than people thought. But in the meantime, there may be weakness, but I genuinely think there's almost proof of concept here already. If I were you, I'd consider, obviously after your due diligence, Steve, and lots of it, consider averaging down here. Because, are you sticking to... we always stick, you know, the rules are pretty much never overexpose yourself in one stock. And I see that. I mean, obviously, there's no hard and fast rule with this. There are some people who will go 50% in the stock. That's, in my mind, that's nuts. Because if that stock tanks, then you've lost half your money. I try and stick to no more than 10%. Because even then, you know, losing 10% is a big chunk of your portfolio. But at least if it all goes wrong, and it very rarely does, unless you're picking dogs of stocks, you know, it very rarely does. But at least if it all goes wrong, you lose 10%. So, you know,
well, it doesn't really look like in this. So maybe
this is not a company. Already they've got a route to revenue, and this looks like a class company with experts on board. They know what they're doing. So, I mean, if you're sitting, if it's, you know, only sitting at about sort of what, 5% of your portfolio worth, you know, then it's worth maybe looking to average down. That's you know, after your due diligence, Steve. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can do that. I've only got 5% in there, to be honest. So
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You said the other day to me, you said I keep buying new stocks,
after you've just said that, nothing's probably going to happen until 2019/20. That's quite a long time to wait, though.
But
if I can average down,
hang on a second. If you average down, Steve, and they announce another deal, it could fly, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that deal, that licensing, was in China, which is a massive part of the market. But Dan did say he is looking at, of course, there are patents all around the world. So they can do this in any other country. They do it in America, they do it in the Middle East, anywhere. So, you know, that's just one part of the world. So, I just think if they do, and already they've announced two sort of, you know, bits of news, and they haven't been around long, so I'm thinking it's the kind of company that will release good news on a regular basis. So who's to say won't fly before then? You know, that's only one deal they've done. So I think New Formics has a lot of potential. At the moment, my sweet spot is around 10 million. I like 10 million market caps. But, you know, it's going over. Hey, listen, good news on another stock we hold. And I'm annoyed at this because I had quite a lot of stock in utility wise, and because I averaged down. But then when you average down, what you can do is this, Steve. When you average down, for example, let's say you average down now and it rises, obviously you need now. So let's say you're 20% down and you buy more stock, right? And that makes your average about, 10% down then, because you've bought more at a lower level. You only need a rise then, don't you? A bit more than 10%, obviously. You need less of a rise to get back to break even.
Yeah.
So you can get back to break even, and then if you want then, you can sell that, you know, that extra 5% you bought lower down and deleverage a bit. So there's no hard and fast rule about this. What I'm saying is you average down, and you can always, you know, sell off and de-risk then when it's gone back up a little bit, you know?
So what's happened at utility-wise? So I don't know about that.
Anyway, utility-wise, yeah. So I averaged down and had big chunks on. To me, it was becoming a risky play because there's all these problems going on with their reporting and all that stuff and their change of standard. But they announced, you know, in my mind, I wrote a blog last week. I didn't know they were going to be suspended this week. They're suspended. You know that?
Yeah, well, I guess that was why I've got a no live prices.
Why
were they suspended then?
It was suspended because on AIM rules, you have to produce and publish your final report in the reports 6 months after the end of year. So their end of year was like, when was it? May, I think, something like that. 31st of May or something like that. So you've got to produce that within 6 months. You know, you've got to publish them within 6 months. If you haven't done that, you suspend until you publish. And so they've got a certain amount of time to do that, but because they're going through auditors, and it does sound bad, but this is the result of previous board of directors who were, you know, overly optimistic on revenue. They're taking upfront cash payments for contracts that would last years, and the contracts would be reduced over the year, and they have to pay stuff back, which would take a hit. So, you know, they're reporting profit for like in 1 year. They're saying, oh, we made sort of, you know, £18 million profit this year, and then all of a sudden, halfway through the year, they'd announced one of the contracts they'd be on 3 years, they'd taken full commission on. You know, the energy consumption had been less, so they'd have to pay, you know, some commission back to that energy company, and then obviously they'd take a knock on that profits, and that kept happening. So the new board has come in and said, this is not the way to run this kind of business. You have to take no cash up front. You have to reduce the expectation of that contract, what you're going to get, and also only take, you know, part payments throughout the contract. So if it's a 5-year contract, you take a fifth in year one and all that, you know, so it's more sensible reporting. But this is obviously knocked their revenue and profits for several years, and so they've changed around, and they've also had to use a bit of debt to pay back, you know, the previous commission paybacks. So all that's happened, and so the problem with this week was they came out and announced the suspension. They announced they're in talks with their bank about banking covenants, and they're, uh-oh, because if you've got debt for a company, you're relying on that debt, and the bank says, we're calling in that debt, you're knackered, you know?
Mm.
So they said, we are in constructive talks with our... And you've got... Banking covenants have rules that apply to them. So theirs was something like, they're not allowed to go over 2x EBITDA, which is earnings before tax, depreciation, amortization, all that stuff. So basically before sort of profit and all that stuff. And they're not allowed... And it mustn't be... the interest on that mustn't be 5x... I think it was EBITDA or something like that. But so if you're going to breach those... You either talk to the bank beforehand and say, this is going to be a temporary thing, we're going to breach this, it's like we've got a cash flow problem or whatever, or, you know, short temporary, and it'll be back to normal next year. So that was in the discussions. But end of this week, they did say, we've had chats with our bank, we know now our net debt is only going to be £15 million, which is fine. We don't need to extend our banking covenants for debt. So that is fine. So, and underlying is, the thing they're saying all the time is, they're saying the cash flow and the business isn't affected. We're still, you know, growing. We're still taking on the same amount of cash flow. It's only the way it's been reported and the payback of commission clawback that's happened in the last couple of years has affected us. But the ongoing business as it is, still as it is, still as strong as it was. And this was a darling of AIM. Like I said, it floated at 67 pence, went up to £3.70 or something within a year and a half of floating. So it was a five bagger, you know, on good revenue and growth. And so that growth is still there. That business is still there. The demand is still there. Business is still there. They've had this issue with accounting, which is due to the board of directors that's been kicked out. And this was the founder of the company as well. He was, you know, Jeff Thompson. He's now been kicked out because they just said, fair enough, the business is good, but the way you're accounting is dreadful. And, you know, so I think now I did de-risk a little bit. But now I looked at that thing, this is going to fly. I honestly think this is going to fly. So I wish I'd stuck to my guns, because I was quite, you know, I've written a couple of blogs on it, I was quite confident of it doing well, but then, you know, I got shaken a little bit, and I did de-risk a little bit, and now I wish I'd kept there and stayed long and strong. Long and strong, you know what I'm saying, Steve? So I think it'll be fine. I mean, I don't know when they're going to... Did they say they're going to report? I don't know when they're going to report. But as soon as they're... Maybe they did initially say 31st of January. I don't know if that's still going to happen. Obviously, no, it's not, is it? Because we're in February. But so that's definitely not going to happen. But when they report, they'll come back to the market with their final results, and then they'll
fingers crossed,
they'll readmit to AIM, and then they're going to fly. If they don't fly, right, knowing what I know now, though, I'm going to put a couple of limit orders in. So if they dip down on that day, sometimes that can happen. If their financial statements come out a bit complicated and people don't know what to make of it, I mean, if, obviously from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. is only 1 hour. If the market's unsure and they dip, I'm going to put a limit order in, 5-10% down, to suck up a bit of stock there if it's low down, because it may spike down and bounce back up. So that's what I'm going to do. But as a further update regarding trading in the first half of the, in due course, it doesn't say the date. So could be any time, could be next week, you never know. But I think it's going okay. Anything else, Steve? I did well on Stella Diamonds. Did you see Stella Diamonds? Tiny little microcap company. Potential takeover. They shot 200% in one day and are sold out. It was one of those tiny microcap companies. I didn't put a lot in, but I just thought, I wrote a couple of blogs on them. They're like their project, which is in Sierra Leone for diamond mining, had the potential of like an NPV of 109 million. That was net to them, and their market cap was like 2 million. So it was like, you know, 50 times their size, their market cap. But obviously, companies like that, they have the main issue there, stumbling block, is raising funds to get the mining operation going, you know. But they had a potential takeover from a bigger company, which was excellent. So it went by 250%. I sold out about 200%. And it was quite nice because, yes, I loved it when that happened.
I
don't know where the top of the market is, Steve. I don't, unlike you, you can judge the bottom of the market, and that's where you sell.
Yeah, I'm very good at that, aren't I?
Yeah. All right, anything happening on the weekend, Steve? It's the internationals, isn't it?
Yes, no, I'm working tomorrow for the rugby. So that's tomorrow done for me.
What are you doing there?
It's an OB again for the capital.
Say again?
Same old. Capital OB.
I see.
What about you?
Who did you go with in that?
What do you mean, who do I do? I do it my own.
What, just you on your own?
Well, the presenters are there, obviously.
Oh, yeah, so I was going to say, you and the presenters. Yeah. Who are the presenters?
Yeah. Tomorrow it's the drive presenters.
Okay, I see. All right.
So, yeah. So what about you? What are you up to?
So I was off as we reading an email then. I'm watching the match. The parents coming down. We're having a full house rewired. So we had an estimate, right? A full rewire of the house, right? And so the worst is going to happen.
Didn't you have that all done when you moved in?
No, it's been melted down. We were tested. It was fine. It was just tested by someone. So it's okay. But so we've added obviously things, bits to it, haven't we? So it's put more. It's an old build. It was an old house, but the wiring was old. But we've had an extension, we've had a sort of stockers everywhere. So I think it's been going to melt down a little bit. But so the worst is going to happen. If we have rewired the whole house, the guy said, worst is going to happen, $5,000. So what? And it's not one of these things you can, after having it done, you can show, you know, invite people around and show off, is it? Look at my wiring. But you can't see wiring.
A wiring party, yeah. That's what's
you can't see it though, can you?
No, but you still have a party for it. I'll come, like, do fancy dress. I'll come dress as a fuse or something.
Nice, Steve, yeah. But that was worst case scenario, right? So we had they came around, looked at it all. They said, that's worst case scenario. Entire house need rewiring. Worst case scenario. So that was $5,000. Have a guess where the bill came in.
$7,000.
No. Worst case scenario is $5,000.
So all right. Okay.
Worst case scenario. It all needed rewiring, and they said didn't need. The probability is it will not need all of a rewire. Okay. So the worst case scenario was £5,000. Worst case scenario. Have a guess where the bill came in.
$4,950.
Oh, brilliant! £50. And not only that, do you know what? We're going to stay in a hotel because they're literally pulling up the carpets and everything. So the hotel has cost us like £500. So that's even more. So they're going, what the heck is going on here? So, so that's what happened the weekend. We're taking all the, we're cleaning the house up and doing stuff and taking all the pictures off the walls so they can rewire the house.
So do they have to actually like chisel through into your walls and like retake all the like plug socket wires out and everything? Or is it just like main wiring?
Say again, they're going to chisel the bits of the wall out, yeah, take the, rewire it and all that stuff, yeah, so we'll do all that nonsense. So, it's a heck of a mess, and, That's annoying though. It's just, I don't know why. I've never begrudged spending money on anything in my life, but I do this. I just think, what's that? Can't we just get... At the moment, we're working because our kitchen hasn't got any electric. We got like three extension leads, you know, running from different rooms. And I think I'd prefer to put up with that for the rest of my life than pay $5,000.
There's certain things in life that are like that, like boiler replacements are another one, aren't they?
I didn't mind the boiler, because we went from an old boiler to a combi, and I quite liked it, and it's got a remote. The thing is, you've got something to show for it. We have got now a remote control on the wall that's quite smart. You know, you just walk around with it and change it and put it. So I don't mind that. It's a bit of a gadget there. In fact, do you know what we'll have to show for this? Two new sockets in the kitchen with USB ports in them. That's all we'll have to show for it. $5,000. It's like right, two.
Imagine they've sent you to a hotel just to do that and they're just lying to you.
I know. In fact, that was all that was there. That's all that was needed. They're rubbing their hands laughing. That was the easiest job in the world, huh? Yeah. anyway, so Steve, so are you courting on the weekend? Catch up with your lady friend?
I'm not, no. No, lady friends.
Have you got any lady friends?
No, not at the moment.
Are you still swiping right and left and all that stuff, huh?
Yeah, still doing that.
But by that, I mean on the app. I don't mean in yourself in the bedroom.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit dodgy, that. Right. Lovely, Steve.
Right, have a good weekend. Special week. Pete's back next weekend. A bit more talking.
In fact, let's have a look. This has been the most you've ever talked on a podcast, Steve, didn't it?
I have to, really. Otherwise, you're just talking to yourself.
Yeah, let's... I am. If I look at this podcast, the audio now on this podcast, right?
It's all you.
Yeah, I literally see the waveform... Pete's still not answering. It's all me anyway. So, by the way, one more thing before I go. I'm compiling this the biotech and tech stock spreadsheet, right? Below 10 million. And there was a few in there, not as many as the resource stocks. So I went looking for some and I found one I like a lot. I like it a lot, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
It may be coming your way, but it's soon. I'm sure there'll be a little bit more research in it. The share price is moving. But I like this little biotech stock that's got revenue, it's got cash, it's just done a good deal with a massive global sort of supplier. And I'm thinking, this is very good. I like this a lot. And I like biotech stocks because they are like resource stocks. They can go bananas, you know, tech and biotech. That's why I've sort of, you know, focused and honed on those two areas because they can go from nothing to bananas, like Vesarian, you know? So,
I look forward to that.
Yes. All right, Steve, have a nice weekend.
And you. Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.